Good day, everyone, and welcome to the SSR2 plenary call on the 25th of March, 2020 at 1400 UTC. Attending the call today are Boban, Denko, Kaveh, Ramakrishna, Lauren, Russ, and Norm. Apologies from Elaine and Eric and Carrie Ann. From ICANN.org is Jennifer, Steve, and Brenda. Technical writer Heather is on the call. And today's meeting is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the record. Russ, I'll turn the call over to you. Thank you.
Hi, I'm sure we have more on the agenda than we can accomplish in an hour. So the first thing on the agenda is that Lauren and Heather got together as they promised at the end of last call and are proposing a different outline for the report. Instead of reporting on things in the work stream order, they're just taking the exact same recommendations and laying them out in a order that's more cohesive. I remember when we were first getting started after the pause, we had a discussion that said, this is the way we're going to gather the information. The way we report it out might be in a different order. What I'd like to do is see whether people like this. The intent is not to rewrite it at this time, but rather to deal with the public comment against the old report and then move to this if we like it. The thing to find out is whether you like it or not so that we can revise it or make another go at it if this doesn't make sense. So the first link in the agenda has a Google Doc that just has an outline, no meat. Because we didn't think it was worth the effort to move the content into this outline just to see whether this outline meets the group's needs. So Heather or Lauren, anything further to add?
This is Heather. I think you covered it pretty completely.
Okay. Lauren?
Yes, I think I would only add like one or two sentences, which is essentially when Heather and I went through this, we both felt that changing the structure would be really helpful because we're jumping around topics a lot, which makes it difficult to read and which requires us to essentially say some stuff over and over again by putting this along, you know, issue lines, if you want, really helps kind of talking about one thing, giving everything we have to say, and then moving on. Just as a kind of quick point on how it felt when we did this in detail.
Okay. You've had the outline for a couple days, and I wonder what people's reactions are. Is this an improvement, or is there more improvement needed?
This is Norm. Definitely an improvement. I like it.
I'm not seeing any hands. I'm not hearing any concerns. Okay, then I think what we will do is proceed, basically put that on to the side until after we have dealt with the public comments. And the next topic on the agenda is the public comments. If you open up the second link in the agenda, you will see that Heather has spent a huge amount of time gathering all of the comments from the public comments that we have received, all 224 of them so far. We know that GAC and the ICANN staff also plan to give us comments. So this is not a full list, but you could see what I am thinking about for this is that each of the team members should sign up for the ones that they think they can quickly handle. We have the assigned to, if you just put your initials there. And then we should have the rest of the comments by the call next week. And we can assign any that are blank, even if we resort to round robin. We'll get that done so that we can all work in parallel to get this done. Does anybody have a better proposal on how to tackle the massive number of public comments we have?
Russ, this is Heather. I don't have a better proposal, but I did want to add two things. One, the what I put in the comment column is extracted from is often extracted from larger text, so it's worthwhile for whichever comments you take to also perhaps look at the original source. All of that is in the same folder as the spreadsheet, in case there was more context that you might find useful. I was trying to get to the meat of the recommendation, but there is often more text, as people like to say words.
It's hard to say pictures.
You know, sometimes I think it might have been better if they had tried that, but you know, it's all right. It's all right. Words are good.
Does anyone have a better approach to this? Okay, then the action between now and next week is to go through these and put your initials in the assigned to column for the ones that you can tackle. Anything else on this while we're waiting the rest of the public comment? Okay, that brings us to the document where we still have comments to from the team itself to resolve, and that's the third link in the agenda. During my memory is that we need to deal with recommendation 3 next.
Well, this is Heather. Yeah. When last we left our humble explorers on the last call, we had gone through recs 4 through 7.
Yeah.
The 5, 6, and 7 is in a way what turned into the alternate structure exercise, as there was a lot of thoughts to rejigger, revise, reorganize, and those were assigned to Lauren.
I remember that, but I also remembered that we got some text from Denise right after the call.
Ah, for recommendation 3?
That's where I thought it landed.
Mm-hmm. Right, you had asked Scott and I to take a shot at a rewrite.
Mm-hmm. So if people could just scan the revised text there.
It's at the bottom of page 26.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Well, it's pink in mine, but purple on the Zoom screen.
And it's green on mine. There's just no telling what Google's going to do.
Any concerns with the new text? Okay. So then I believe we're at recommendation 8. Which is on page 35. And this is a comment from KC in 8.3, where she says, is there any evidence that this has ever been a problem? If so, we should point to it.
This is Heather. She also had a comment about earlier on about merging 8 and 9 into one recommendation.
Okay, well, let's see if we're going to keep 8.3 before we try and do a merge. So why are we calling out the IANA functions? Is it just we haven't seen a plan, or is it that there's been an issue? Boban, you're on the call. Do you remember?
Hi, this is Bobin. Not really. I, as I can remember, PDI and IANA functions were in the scope. Then it was out of the scope. And a former member of the team, I think it was James Gannon, he also always touched this recommendation. So he always put it on the agenda. But I don't know, and I don't remember if there was an evidence or not. So maybe Alain can clarify something here. If not, leave it out. Yeah, because PDI, we have agreements, so there is everything defined what PDI and IANA had to do. So I would leave it out here, but that's my personal opinion. So we should try to clarify it via Alain, and I can try to reach out James Gannon. Maybe he can also, and he's an observer, maybe he can also give here some relevant input.
Yeah, this is Denise.
Go ahead.
Sounds like a reach out to James might be a good idea. Eric isn't on the call, but he, I don't recall, but the Eric might recall. I can send him a note and ask him to take a look at this section.
Yep, sounds good, yeah.
Okay, I will fire off.
May I clarify?
Sure.
Okay, thanks. At one point, this is not James and Kathy were doing transition stuff, so James doesn't have to do anything with this. At one point, we're talking about the air plans, and right now we have a disaster which can lead to some undocumented approach by PTI and IANA function. We'll see what will happen until June, but before the end of June, they have to do a key rollover action, and if all key holders cannot go to the states, that's something that they didn't have in plans. We'll see how they are going to solve that. But also, we're talking about disaster recovery and disaster recovery facility outside states on different continent and different country. So that was, I believe, a year ago.
That's in 9.3.
Yeah, that should be there, and that initiated that ICANN and actually PTI should think about disaster recovery and follow standardized procedure for that.
That's a good point to pay attention to. I think Steve in chat said there is no key rollover planned, and I don't think that's what Sarko was talking about. I think he was talking about the next time that the key signing key needs to be used.
Yes, that's. I was just clarifying that comment. I wasn't accusing her at all. All
right. All right, I will fire off a note to Alon to see if he knows anything. And Heather, can you insert a comment about seeing how the DNSSEC key custodians are able to get together?
That comment being assigned to anybody?
I think what we want to see is whether anything happens that leads to a recommendation, or anything fails to happen that leads to a recommendation that would replace what's here.
Russ, this is Steve. Can I jump in?
Please.
Just want to clarify that next key signing ceremony has been identified as something that's out of the ordinary. I do know that IANA is working very hard to determine how to do that. I don't know honestly what their steps are, but it has been identified. So there's two paths on this. Like you had mentioned, you know, wait and see what happens. Another path could be to, you know, send an email or you know, query Ayanna what their plan is. But as Zarco mentioned, we are in the midst of the crisis right now, so there might be not the available cycles to give you an answer until after it happens anyway. But I just mostly wanted to float that it is identified internally, and we are aware, and those in the capacity to take action are looking at the options to do so.
Well, I'm glad to hear that they're working on it. I don't think we need to add an additional task to their list. I think it's we just look at what happens and see whether we want to add a recommendation that will, of course, be something they already figured out they need to do at any rate. It would be bad for things to start expiring at the root. Okay. There was a recommendation from KC that we merge 8 and 9. I don't know. I see the business continuity plan and the disaster recovery plan as somewhat different. In fact, we point to different ISO documents that they should be audited against. So I'd like to push back against merging.
It's KC. I just feel that's fine. I don't disagree. I don't have an issue with that. I think the bigger issue is that identifying what problem we're trying to solve here. And we should probably look at the comments that we got in the public comment on these.
Oh, indeed we will. We talked about that earlier in the call.
So this is Lauren. Just as a note, we have as a public comment exactly this idea, with the reasoning that if ICANN was to go for these ISO standards, they would have to do and document this anyway. So I would say let's put that one off and work it in with the public comment. That's what I would.
So the next one, I think, is 9.3 and 9.4. Whereas Casey says, we go into too much detail. Can't we leave some of these decisions to the implementer? So Casey, are you talking about the outside North America, or are you talking about the timeline, or both?
All right, somebody's going to have to remind me. Is this a highlighted text we're looking at? And what?
Yes, in 9.3 and 9.4.
Right. I mean, all of this, I feel like, is this not something that we should be recommending they outsource to a professional that deals with disaster recovery, and they could parameterize the solution? It does sound like we're trying to parameterize 12 months, third site, where it is, da-da-da-da. Why are we being so microscopic, micromanaging it?
Well, part of it is what Zarco just said about making sure that one of the sites is under a different government.
Okay, I don't feel too strongly about this. If everyone else is happy, let's move on. And
may I say something? Yeah, I understand what Casey is talking about. We should just address the problem and leave that for Ayanna and actually PTI and I can just solve that.
Right. If we're going to micromanage, we have to say, what is the problem that we're trying to solve that with these parameterizations? So if we've already decided not to talk about that, then I'll shut up.
All
yeah, this is Denise. As yeah, unfortunately, I think, as I recall, because this was, you know, before the board suspended the team. It's been a while, but I believe the people who worked on this section aren't on the call, so it would be good to ping the list to ask about this.
But, so this is learning.
You know, I think part of the challenge that I think we have had in several sections is that, be it previous recommendations, were not implemented. So the authors felt, of the text that you're seeing, they have felt that a more detailed recommendation was needed in order to help ensure that it was actually implemented. And I think that's a balance that is challenging to strike throughout the report, where we've seen general recommendations, be it SSR1 or other reports or other documents, not being implemented. So I think the response on that is to make the recommendations much more explicit, to provide a more detailed path to implementation. In any event, I'll take an action item to ping a few people who are on the original team to see if I can get more background on 9.3 and 9.4.
Okay, that would be good.
Sorry.
At the same time, I think this is falling in that balance that Steve Conte shared early, right after the report was put out for public comment, which is the balance between being smart and doing all the engineering ourselves. So,
So this is Lauren. Apologies, Denise, for interrupting you. Your audio cut out, so I thought you were done. This was we discussed this actually in LA, not before the pause, but after the pause. And essentially, the idea behind this is just to say, jurisdiction plus geography. And to some extent, I think this is defensible. It's a quick sentence. It doesn't say where things have to go. We're more going into the direction of address this issue somehow. And then you can choose how to do it. And I think there was good reasoning behind this in that particular case. So I'm all for kind of culling this a little bit, but I'm not sure if we should remove this particular one outright.
Is Casey, is that reasoning that you're talking about going in the report? Because it's not in there now.
That's essentially what we should talk about, I guess. I mean, the reasoning we had in LA, and I think this was one of the small group exercises, was exactly to talk about what we're seeing right now, right, where if all sites are in the United States and for some reason you cannot travel to or inside the United States, you have a problem. If there's a natural disaster kind of situation, we have the same issue. And I think that is, if we have to add that, we should do so. You're right.
If you're using this today's scenario as an example of the disaster that they cannot recover from, you need to explain how having something in the outside United States would help them with this disaster. Like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't get the problem that you're trying to solve here. I mean, no, yeah, don't get me wrong. I think it'd be great to have a site outside the United States, but I think, okay, think about SSR3. They have to say, was this implemented and was it effective? If effective for what?
Mm-hmm. How do
we, whether it was effective.
Okay.
And I understand that there has to be a disaster to test it, but you have to explain the disaster that would require this.
may I say what disaster? Okay, this one that we have right now is one of them. But there can be much bigger disaster when both facilities may be destroyed in war or turmoil in the states or whatever, natural disaster. So it would be wise to have another facility, one or two outside and on different continents.
Okay, this is Lauren. So I'm happy to take the following action item. I will write present on this, or maybe four, on the findings. And I would also say we have to probably move this issue from just DR to business continuity and DR. It's an overarching issue, and then it might make more sense. If everyone's happy with that rough approach, I'm happy to take the.
So if you take that approach, then you have to clarify how the two different ISO standards apply to the two different things. ISO 22301 for business continuity and ISO 27031 to disaster recovery.
Okay, Russ, I will check on this. I'm just reading it. I'm not quite sure. I see what you're saying. Yes. I'll definitely look at that.
Okay. Because the overarching point of this section was to have the C-suite, someone in the C-suite responsible for these tasks, and to do them in a way that followed these ISO guidelines and have it audited. Okay, so Jennifer, capture Lauren's action item, please.
Thanks. I have done, and Boban has got his hand up.
Oh, thank you, Boban.
Only some information on these those standards. When we are talking about ISO 22301, this is a standard related to a management system. So we are talking about implementing a management system like it is a quality management or information security management or environmental management, and 22301 is business continuity management systems. 27031, it's a sector-specific guideline. It's only a guideline, it's not a standard. It's a guideline for ICT to be ready for a business continuity. So it's only a small part of the overall standard. So the overall standard is 22301, and the sector-specific part is 27031. And these are only guidelines, nothing more. It's not a standard. You can't certify it. So that's also one big difference between them. So if you would like to certify your management system, then you can certify 22301 or 27001, but not 27031. These are only guidelines. So we're following guidelines, implementing a business continuity management systems. And if ICANN would like to certify its management system, then we have to do it related to 22301. That's the difference between these standards. That's
so
also why
saying,
the difference always 22301 and 27001.
So Boban, I want to make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying that 9.4 is wrong?
Can you repeat it, Russ?
So 9.4,
yeah,
asks for an external auditor to verify compliance with these aspects of the implementation of the disaster recovery plan. So, but the disaster recovery plans against 27031 So you're saying that's a guideline that shouldn't be audited again.
You can audit it, but you can't certify it. So if you would like to follow these guidelines, then you have an audit. Yes, you are following. Then you will get an attestation or something like that. And if you would like to certify it with YOLO processes and such things, then you need a reference to 2301. So you can audit both, but you can't certify any guidelines. You can certify only standards in the ISO world.
Thank you. That was a subtlety I missed. Okay, I don't see any other hands. Lauren took an action item here. And I think we're ready to move to the next one. Is that right? The next one is the introduction to Workstream 3. The last sentence of the introduction, Casey says, this is false.
The focus of this
one. Are you just saying we should delete the sentence?
I can't remember, Russ. But yeah, would it hurt to delete a sentence here and there randomly?
Randomly, yes, probably.
Where? I can't even...
The bottom of page 36.
Yeah, but now I don't see the context. I have to go back and listen.
If you click on the yellow, it'll bring it up.
Yeah, the evaluation of this.
Heather's been teaching me.
I don't think she has a problem with finding that where no, that I is. That I think it's more finding why the context in her own notes as to why she wrote it.
Yeah. And what this, okay, I mean, I'm not sure I agree with the statement about the focus of this work, but I would have to go back and read the section about here. I'm not sure that I agree that it's just within ICANN org's remit, all the things that we talk about in this section. So that is probably why I highlighted it. Let me go look. Why don't we put a pin in and come back later when after we've gone through this section.
Okay. Lauren wants to adjust the tone. I don't know what to do with that one right now. Is it fair we should wait till after public comment on that one?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I just remembered, or I just realized, because we're asking with all these things about enhancing contracts and creating pricing incentives and a lot of that stuff. And I think you see this in SX comment are going to be, the counter is going to be, if it hasn't been already, that's not up to ICANN org to do. That's going to require PDPs, et cetera. So strictly the sentence is false.
I see. So we either delete this or change those recommendations is what you're saying.
Well, change the sentence to say these you say the focus of this work. I assume you mean the recommendations that are coming out of this work stream. And only those systems, I don't know what you mean by systems. If you mean the whole registries and registrars, which is what we talk about here, that's certainly not within ICANN org's remit only. So you have to be more clear about what that sentence means, which would require another paragraph. And I'm not sure you need it in this intro or if the document's even going to be structured with these work streams. So I would say the most expedient approach would be to delete the sentence at the moment, but that's why I wrote it.
I would suggest we keep it and come back to it. I'm not sure we've got everyone on the phone.
That's fine.
Wrote this. Yeah. Okay. I take your point, but you're not indicating though that if we are recommending action that requires a PDP, that's somehow correct. Not appropriate?
Or? No, that's exactly what you just said. It's just that it's definitely not within ICANN org's remit. I mean, it's maybe within ICANN org's remit to, how do you say, encourage a PDP. I don't even know how the wording is.
Sure, it is.
Yeah.
And they do have, and the board, of course, has the authority to start a PDP.
Right.
So I would not say that it's not within ICANN's remit, but the wording could be clearer.
Right, because it doesn't
it's
really...
not always, and it's not always clear when a PDP is needed versus staff action or board action.
And then we have to be clear what system do we mean.
Yeah. So, or we can say, we're not clear which system is required to carry this out. Recommend that staff assess this and come back with a proposed plan.
So we can come back to this. Leave my comment, Heather.
Okay.
Okay, the next one is from Lauren in the abuse and compliance paragraph at the top of page 37. The both org and non-org is what he says.
This is Lauren. What is this specifically linked to? Because I'm at a loss what I wanted to say here. Okay, so this is Lauren again. This is one copied from the original document. I assume this has been resolved. The only thing we're talking about, I guess this refers to is it just ICANN.org where this support lacking, or is it like the community or the space more generally where we believe this is lacking? I think this was the discussion, if I remember correctly. I'm happy to just kill that one off and leave this is, but other people think differently.
Yeah, this is Denise. We could just, are you referring to the highlight, the ICANN.org highlight?
Yes.
I would suggest that it just read ICANN's record, because it involves staff and board and the
contract,
the GTLD community, GTLD community as well as the contracted parties.
Okay.
This is Heather. If we just say ICANN, it will be questioned because folks will want to understand what, which part of ICANN we're talking about. If we're talking about all parts, then is there a way to specify that?
I think we should sort of come back after we've, in the course of processing the public comments. There's a lot more detail in terms of actions below that I think probably support this overarching statement.
How about we say for now, the ICANN community's record, which...
Because it's not just the community, it's ICANN staff, ICANN compliance, it's board action or inaction, it's the GNSO council, it's the contracted parties. So it's really the ecosystem of ICANN.
So the whole ICANN ecosystem's record.
I think adding ecosystem would be confusing for people. So I'm suggesting if you want to just leave it highlighted, then we can come back to that if it's an issue for people.
Given that it's not, it's really in the introduction to this whole flow of things we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
I think by the time we get to the recommendations, it's clear.
Yeah.
Okay, moving to the next comment. Suggest a causal link from KC.
Am I being asked to say something?
Are you? I'm trying to understand whether you're just thinking that the words need to be different so as to not suggest a causal link, or you're saying that we should be more blunt about the causal link. I'm not sure what you meant.
Sorry, is this where, what? Which of the two yellow comments is this on?
We're on adopted SSR 1 recommendations in 2012.
Again, I don't know what I meant. It's not clear why that's in there. Do we think that
Well, our job starts as a review team. We're the sort of the period where, as I think the period, as I recall, the period we're assessing is, you know, sort of starts with the board adopting and ordering the implementation of SSR 1 recommendations.
Yeah, that's that. The way it's written, if you don't have all the context, it does suggest that there is a causal link between, you know, these trends have been noteworthy since, as if something about the SSR 1 recommendations made them more noteworthy. That's not what we mean. I think we mean that it's just the last review team looked at it or something, but we should then clarify that to avoid this.
So how about in parentheses, just after 2012, put the period for our assessment, our team's assessment, the period of our team's assessment.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point we're trying to make here is that whatever SSR 1 recommended didn't help. In fact, things seem to have gotten worse. But
that's I think I get your point, Casey. And Heather, if you'd like to sign this little comment to me, I'll take a look at it again and see if I can satisfy Casey's point.
I mean, even Heather could probably handle that. If she wants to take it on, if she understands what I mean.
That's fine. I'm sure there's others in here that I will need to look at.
All right. How about I take this?
Okay. So thank you, Heather. Okay. Next paragraph, the word action. We're missing a site, but then take action now. What action is what Casey asks?
I can find the citation on that. I think I have it in one of my files, so I just forgot to drop it in.
Okay, so we'll.
Well, there's the citation issue and there's the action issue. Those are two problems here, because what action do we intend them to take? I think this is more of an abstract sentence. Yeah, take what action? And of course, you know, at least what I saw in the public comments is that there is not the consensus on DNS abuse terms that we believe there is on this work team. So we're going to get that back.
So you think we should just, because what we're saying is, don't wait for the community to refine the definitions, but act concurrently with that going on.
Yep. Again, I mean, God, I even looked at some of the transcripts from the DNS abuse work groups and the ALAC stuff, the holistic compliance, yada, yada, last week. And I see the same back and forth about ICANN says it's taking all the action that it can take under the current letter of the contract. So this is just going to get thrown. This sentence is just going to get thrown out unless we're more explicit and addressing exactly the back and forth that we see happening as recently as, you know, 7 days ago on this exact topic. It just looks a little bit like we are pretending that whole conversation isn't continuing to happen. And not that I have a good substitute for...
I was about to say, Casey, do you have words to put here?
Well, okay, so the first thing is, what citation? So yes, we need the citation. And the second thing is, what action do we explicitly need them to take? Now, presumably you're going to, this is sort of an intro section, and you're going to say later, and so you might want to forward forward pointer to e.g. recommendation N and N plus one or something.
I'm happy to take a shot at clarifying the highlights in this section, Heather, if you want to assign this to me. I can come back with some language for everyone to look at.
That include the next sentence?
Yeah, the part about impact, Canelo's operation, is just too abstract. I don't impact how, obviously, part of what ICANN is supposed to do is handle this. So that is ICANN's operations. The sentence I would kill. I mean, it sort of doesn't say anything that I think is helpful in this space. And it undermines also the previous sentence, because we first say, just go ahead and use the existing definitions that ICANN presumably has on its website, and we're going to cite it. And then we're going to say, defining it as an ongoing challenge. Well, we can't have it both ways. Either they have a definition they can use or they don't.
Well, we could say refining these definitions has proven to be a challenge, because that's certainly true.
So the fundamental point that we were making in the report, and yes, Casey, I think it's difficult to, you know, to parse this a sentence at a time or a paragraph at a time, because you're right. I think this was intended as a sort of intro, overarching sections that are supported by the sections below. But fundamentally, the review team was recommending that, noting that there's been a standing and well-used definition of DNS abuse that should continue to be used. In addition, and in parallel, cyber criminals and abuse continues to evolve, and that supports the recommendation of in parallel.
So again,
update of the DNS abuse,
We have to take into account that ICANN compliance on whatever these are, work party ICANN meeting things that happened last week that I sometimes scan the transcripts of and pull my hair out, already say that that compliance is doing everything they can to take action with respect to DNS abuse. So this sentence does not acknowledge that that conversation is happening. We have to say exactly what it is that ICANN says publicly that it's doing that is somehow not taking action according to what's in the contracts. We say that we have a different interpretation of the contracts, but, you know, are we lawyers? Where do we expect this to go? We might say, get a third party, an objective third party who doesn't have a financial stake in this to look at it, who has legal background, but I don't know how this can go any further if compliance is already publicly saying in the last few days, we're doing everything we can here. What else do you want us to do?
Yeah, and I think, again, it might be useful to sort of flag this paragraph for further discussion and then also circle back after we've gone through the other comments in this section.
Yeah,
I would agree. Because we have a couple of issues here. One, there is disagreement about compliance doing everything it currently can under the contracts and its responsibilities in DNS abuse, and that's pretty well documented through comments we've seen from the business constituency and ISP constituency and so others. And then there's this, and citations can be added for that. And then separately, there's the issue of compliance telling the SSR2 review team that it needs more tools, it needs more language and direction to do more. to combat DNS abuse, and that. So we, and that's the other issue that we have or try to address.
So this is learned to add. I think it might make sense, and I'll send around the document that Casey was referring to, which is about from the ALAC session on holistic compliance, I think they call it, so that we have the like most up to date on what org or the parts of org responsible have said about this. I consider it pretty enlightening. And I would say before we discuss this further, let's have everyone read it. It's not new, but it's up to date. So I think that would help. I'll send it around.
Just Lauren, there's no way everyone's going to read it. I'm telling you now. So somebody should read it and summarize the important points and even cut and paste the sentences that we should be quoting here.
Why don't you just assign it to me? I'll do that. And email more information around, as well as propose edits on this. How's that?
Or assign it to a couple people. I mean, maybe not everybody will read it, but it'd be good if a few people read it. I read it, but I scanned it, and I'd have to go back and try to cut and paste.
Yeah. I have maybe a mocked up summary, Casey. So I will pull this out and like.
Yeah, that'd be worth
seeing. See what I can do with it.
Yep.
Yeah. So Lauren, do you want to work with me on this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I'm already looking for the document.
Okay.
We've exhausted the hour. So I think we stop here now that we have at least two people willing to work on this text. Heather, if you'll note that this part was assigned, I'd appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And over to Jennifer for the action items and decisions.
Thank you, Russ. So I captured the decision that the team is going to use the proposed revised outline going forward when developing the final report. Then a couple of action items, review team members to put their initials in the public comment analysis spreadsheet next week or ahead of next week's call to volunteer to help address the comments. Russ is going to send a note to Alan to seek clarification on recommendation 8.3. Lauren is going to propose additional text for finding section of recommendation 9 as it relates to 9.3 and 9.4. Heather is going to address Casey's comment on page 37 regarding board action on SSR1 in 2012 as discussed today. Denise is going to propose edits to the abuse and compliance findings and rationale section on page 37 to address highlighted comments. And then finally, Denise and Lauren are going to work together in reviewing, and sorry, I didn't catch the name of the ALAC document that was referenced, but I'm proposing text based on the review. And let me know if I miss anything there. Thank you.
I think that's it. Okay, we're out of time. Thank you very much. And we'll talk soon.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you.